I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we can read of the word of the Lord, I just want to thank God for his grace and the journey mercies that he gave me all over from Africa up to here. It is the grace of God to travel. If it is not God, I would not be here. Neither would I count myself anybody blessed or anybody worthy to be considered someone to mentor a young person whom you are not related to, but for somebody to spend all that she has, buy the air ticket and say, please, can you go and counsel that young boy and let him live the way of the Lord? It is just a miracle that God did. I was sent this way by my former head of department in the university. When I was undertaking my degree course in nursing, God gave me favor in her sight and before the university authority, to the extent that I can't imagine. I couldn't afford the fees, but God gave me the grace to finish the course. Yeah. And I didn't even finish up to now, but they still love me. And it is just because of what God can do for any of his children. Praise the Lord. I bring you greetings from my family. I'm a married brother. I have two children. The eldest is called Nathan, who is 4 years. And the youngest, who is 4 months old, is called Nora. So, they're all okay. And the Lord is sustaining them. Much greetings and love from Pastor Bolas and Pastor John Mark Lohuse. They all conveyed their greetings in the name of the Lord. Amen. Brother Nathan, too, greeted you in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's okay. Last Sunday, I had fellowship with them in his family. So, I was, when the brother told me, okay, can you come over to Singapore? And I was just saying, now, God, what shall I share with your children here? I was a bit stuck. But, you know, it should not be my word. It should be the word of God. Amen? So I had to go back to God and ask him, what can I share? And this precious God, just in the vision yesterday, I found myself, it was open to me, the book of Deuteronomy. And it was from there that I began seeing what I can share with the children of God here. Just be prayerful. Pray for me, that the Lord may give me the utterance, and it should be purely and purely his word. Amen? So, Brother Nathan greeted you also. Him and the family is okay. Let us just rise up and we pray. Precious eternal God, we are here assembled before thee, O great Father. We are not worthy, Lord, but upon thy grace, O Father, we lean. And Jesus, we need you this precious morning to come and minister thy word of grace unto us, O Father. Remove all our weaknesses, Father. Remove all our humanities, Lord. And let your spirit take preeminence, O my Master, and move in our midst, O Lord, that it shall be as it was on the way to Emmaus, that as our hearts not burned while he spoke with us, O Lord. Father, I pray for a listening here and a receiving heart of my Master, that we all be transformed, O my great King, for the glory of thy name, O my Master. We bless your precious name. Take over, Lord, with this fellowship. Take over, O Lord, with thy servants here, and let your light, O Father, so shine in our hearts as you prepare us for your blessed coming. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Yeah, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on the side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Topel, and Laban and Ezer. There are 11 days' journey,
from Oreb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. We go to verse 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Oreb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto the places nigh unto the plain, in the hills, in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and to the Lebanon, and to the great river, the Euphrates. And we go to the same book, 4:20. Deuteronomy 4:20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as ye are this day. Let's pray. Father, may you bless this reading of the word and let it create life in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, we are in this end time, brethren, and looking at the promises of God that he has set for us as his people, as his bride, and waiting for that blessed time when we are to be translated into his image and then be caught up in the rapture. So, in this book of Deuteronomy, and for our text today, I can say it is a transition time. It is a transition time. If you look at the book of Deuteronomy, Moses was giving instruction to the children of Israel concerning what God did to them in the time past and what God was doing to them in the wilderness and what God will do for them on the other side of Jordan. The Bible tells us that Moses recalled in the ears of every children of Israel what the Lord God did to them in Egypt, to those who did not believe his blessed word, and then what he will do when they cross over Jordan into the promised land. The promises of God was to restore back his children to the land of their father Abraham. We are living in a time when God used Moses, our precious brother Branham, to take us back to the Word. And this restoration of the children of God back to the blessed Word of God is not for any other purpose but to prepare us as a precious bride for the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that in the transition time, it is a time of bitter separation. It is a time that you call away your human needs. It is a time that you call away your any other forces which wants to drive you out of the way. You want to put aside all things that will give you any kind of weight which is not necessary. You want to put away anything which will not make you have a perfect race. It is a time that a child of God looks forth at Calvary and say, there is my deliverance. Amen. It is a time that we look at our promises which are in the Word of God, the promises for us in this time. You see? So, as a child of God, as a precious brother, sister, we are in a transition time. Moses told us, come out of her. Come out of every denomination. Come out of every human ways. Come out of every dogma. And we came out of all this kind of misery life. The life of Egypt. The life of the world. And we have come into the wilderness. But in the wilderness, it calls for faithfulness. It calls for obedience to the commandments of God. It is everybody who says he or she is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ to pact with things that are not in line with the scripture. Amen?
Amen?
You have to pact with things that are not in line with the scripture. If you look at the people who went to survey the land with those of Joshua and Caleb, because of their unbelief, saying we are just like grasshoppers. We are nothing. We are tiny. We can't overtake the land. It is good. That is unbelief. It is the time that every child of God should put aside unbelief. It is the time that you, brother, sister, must rest on the promises of God. Even it says, yeah, it should be yeah. Even it says, nay, it should be nay. And God deals with that act. God wants us to have a perfect heart that looks at His promises. Not at any kind of weaknesses you have. Not at any kind of ability that you have. He is not there. Amen. He is never in our strength. But He is at the point where we feel defeated. So if you want God to be perfected in your life, brother, sister, you better look at God as the absolute answer for every cares, for every need that you have.
Amen.
So in the transition time, you should know that a number of things happen. Leave alone coming from the denomination, but there can also be grumblings in the house of the Lord.
Right.
Moses, it is too much. It is not only you who is the Lord's anointed. You mean God does not speak to us. Oh, Brother God, you are so tough on us. What is all this? It can't be in the house of God. You can't murmur at the Lord's anointed. Remember in the wilderness there was murmuring. There was bitterness. There were a lot of complaints. There were a lot of unbelief. But it cost them a lot. It made many of them not to reach the promised land. Brother, sister, if in your heart you still murmur at God's given word, you better get down on your knees and repent.
Right.
It is the time that we should forfeit murmurings. It is the time we should forfeit backbitings. It is the time that we should forfeit anything which is not in line with the word of God.
Amen.
This is a transition time. It is the time when Moses was talking to the children of Israel in the presence of Joshua. Our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. He's the one to take us to that promised land. And our Joshua listens. Our Joshua knows the word of Moses. Even the Holy Spirit, who used the prophet Branham, knows what our cares are these days. God used the word to take back His people to the word. Cannot use any other thing. Like calls like. See? Every seed must bring of its kind. The word of God produces a perfect word. When the word of God, which is sacred, lands on the seed of God, it produces life in that person. When we, who are the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have tended to the calling of this end time, takes the word of God as the absolute, then the Spirit of God will come down and water this word in our lives, and it will be a renewal in our spirit. It will bring us a new birth, an insight, a revelation of what God is doing for us. It is the time that all the children of God should get back to the precious promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. They should see Jesus alive in you, Jesus alive in me. We should know that in this transition time, brethren, it is a time that we should seek God much more than we have ever begun. It is a time that you should put all your faith, all your desire in the promises of God. It is a time that we should look at what the Lord is doing for us.
Amen.
It is not a time of group gathering. It is a time of individual dealings. Amen.
Amen.
God has to deal with you individually. God has to deal with me individually. So that when we gather together, we see the presence of God in our midst. We should know that in transition time, we are being transitioned from the type of, we are getting from this body, this level, or one level, into another. And the level which God wants us to be in is a perfected state that will be ready for the rapture. If you are to be perfected, then you should be perfected in the Word of God to wait for the rapture.
Amen.
You cannot be perfected if you are not in the Word. Neither can you be translated if you are not filled with the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
So it calls for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, getting back to the apostolic faith, and moving under the divine will of the great God Almighty, that we may see the power of God alive in us again. Amen? I just want to give this testimony of what God is doing in Karamoja, Africa. You know, we have some brethren who are great warriors. They go robbing all over, as you could have read from the testimony that God gave me the grace to write as the pastor narrated. They went robbing in a number of places. But this brother, the Lord touched him. The message of the hour touched his heart. He forfeited his reading, forfeited his behavior, and came to the Word of God.
Amen.
And this brother rode a distance of almost 200 kilometers to go and preach the gospel. He went riding on a bicycle. No, sometimes the brethren don't have bicycles, but they borrow, brother, help me. He goes and preach and then brings to another brother. So this precious brother went, and after he reached there, he preached in the night. It was in the land of actually a neighboring district. In the night, the rebels came to the place. And these rebels set the places, you know, for us we build with the grasses. For you here, you use iron sheets and the like. They set the place, the earth, on fire. The brother took off for his dear life, ran into the bush. And in the bush, the brother remembered this Bible was tied on the bicycle and the places were burning. So the brother knelt down in the bush and cried, "Oh Lord God, if it pleases you, that I go back to Karamoja walking, glory be to thy name. My Bible, my bicycle is there." And the great thing that this God did, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our precious brother Branham, the earth got burnt, the ashes covered the bicycle, not even the tire got burnt. The Bible was safe, everything was safe.
Amen.
So the brother came and he just glorified God, help in burying the people whom the rebels had killed, and he rode back to Karamoja. This is still the same Jesus that we have in our midst here.
Amen.
It is the same Jesus that is in Singapore. It is the same Jesus that is in Uganda. It is the same Jesus that is all over the earth. If we believe on his word, and we commit anything to him in prayer, and as long as it is in accordance to his word, he will give us. He will give us. Never can he fail us at any point. He's a precious, faithful God. The God of all times. Doesn't slumber. Doesn't fail. He's ever the same. So, what he demands of us, as Moses told the children of Israel, is to obey him. To obey his word. Not to deviate. Never to turn to the left. Not to the right. Never to seek after other things, but to go after this God. Never to have any other thing more than him in our lives, but to have him first. Give him the first position in our lives. So that we can see him alive again in us. So that we can see his works again. Brethren, we should know that it is us whom God is holding this world on, counting this world on. It is because of us that we are still keeping, because you and me are here. That's why God is still preserving his anger against this world. Should the rapture take place, then the world will see the anger of God. They will see the wrath of God. But by virtue of you and me, grace is still on this earth. Because you and me are still on this world, on this earth, grace is still there. And once grace is taken, then there will be no more hope, no more joy in this world. But I want to tell you also, brethren, that there is no joy in the world there. There is no peace in many people's lives. They are not settled. But for you who has believed the message of the hour, you have the peace that God gives you. That's why we say shalom. He has given us the peace from above, that no one can take it away from us. He has given us the joy from above, that no one can even take it away from us. He is the same God, doesn't change. Because he gives to his children sleep. Ask yourself, how many people are there in the world and are not sleeping? Ask yourself, how many people are there but they don't have peace of mind? You see? For me, I just find it is morning. It is what the Bible says, he gives sleep to his own. See? But there are many people who don't have that peace. They feel insecure. They feel that there is some trouble anywhere. But the children of God always look at the promises of God. And it is that promise that keeps us going. That Jesus is alive and is still our King. He's still our Savior. He doesn't change. He's still the healer. When Brother God was testifying about his healing, I just remembered how God saved my eyes. For me, they did a number of eye operations on me. They used to call it vernal cataract. The cause is unknown. There was a growth that was coming to cover up both pupils of the eye. But I could go for operation. No response. Until the brethren could come and say, "Brother, let's go for a prayer fast." We go for prayer fasting 2-3 days. As I come out of the prayer fast, their eyes are better. Praise the Lord. Yeah? I see better. Till one brother turned and said, "Brother, the medicine to your eye is prayer fast." Then God spoke and said, this is what God said. "I say, let him receive his healing." And here I am, not even using any glass or specs. It is the healing power of God. When you talk of Jesus being alive and the same yesterday, today and forever, it is the same Jesus. He doesn't fail. If he was a healer yesterday, he's still the healer today, and tomorrow he will still be the same healer. Doesn't change. He has remained true to his word. Neither can he change his mind about his word. He's the same God. He's the same powerful God. He's the same miracle-working God. So, as you look down this way, from the very word that the Lord told us, he said, we should bring our sacrifices to the place where he will choose to cause his name to dwell. What are the sacrifices that the children of God should bring? These sacrifices is the sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving. We should give our lives to the word of God. Amen. We should give our souls to the word of God. We should give our hearts to the word of God. That God may perfect us. That God may transform us. That God may indwell in us in full abundance. That we should, at one point, at the shout, at that last call, get off and disobey the law of gravity. God wants us to be in his full strength. That we should, at one point, when he shall say, "Come," we should disobey the law of gravity and fly up there. So, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come,
He will not testify of himself, but about me. And he will remind you of the things that I did.
Right.
Which means it's the same God. So, as children of God, the Bible tells us that Moses instructed the children of Israel about the promises of God and God, what God will do. Then Joshua took the children of God to the promised land. Now, brethren, as saints waiting for the coming of the Lord, as we say we are waiting for Jesus, as we believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take a bride unto himself, there must, amen, there must be total perfection in the body of Christ. The bride and the groom must have the same characteristics. The nature of the groom, the likes of the groom, should be the very thing in the bride. So much so that what the bride is not different from what the groom is. And that is what we are now in. Through the fivefold ministry, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is perfecting his bride. Amen. And what is therefore needed of every brother, sister, is to obey the commandments that the Holy Spirit gives, the instruction. If he says turn left, turn. If he says turn right, turn. But, remember Moses told the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy that do not do according to your desire.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Yes, don't do according to your desire. Not the way I think, not the way you think. But it should be according to what the Holy Spirit will tell us to do.
Amen.
Never do according to your desire. Do according to what the Spirit of God will tell you to do. That is what is required of every brother, sister. Even me, you, everyone here. If we are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should do according to what Joshua, the Holy Spirit, tells us to do. Don't do it in your way. Don't do it the way you think. Don't perceive it in another way. Perceive it. Let your thought be the thought of Christ Jesus. As Paul said, let the mind which was in Christ Jesus also dwell in you. We need to walk according to what the Spirit of God tells us to do. We need to have our earnest desire, our earnest expectation, according to what the Word of God says. And when we get back to the Word, when we become one with the Word, so much so that the works which Christ did, we are also doing, so much so that it is difficult to differentiate us from the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the book of Corinthians, the people of Corinth, can be mention of us again, rather than the rapture will take place.
Amen.
What did they say? They are Christians.
Right.
Because they were doing the right way, or exactly as Christ was doing. So, it is the same thing which is necessary for the perfection of the body of Christ. It is therefore necessary and it is a must for every believer to sit down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to listen to the message of the Lord, to listen to the instruction of the Lord so that you can move according to the Bible way. It is the time that you should seek the face of the Lord more than ever.
Amen.
Because the spirits are so many in the world. There are many spirits that have come up to confuse the children of God, to cause some spots, to cause some wrinkles in your life, which is not necessary in the Christian life. It is a time that we should say no to the world and all its cares, yes to Christ Jesus, and we abide according to his word.
Amen.
See? In the book of Joel, it begins and says, has this been in the days of your fathers? If you look at the kind of denominational spirits these days, having a form of godliness, if you look at the way the world is rotten, people are not abiding to the word of truth.
The way moral decay is on the rise. Has this been in the days before? If we ask the elders in our midst here and say, what is happening now? Had it been there some 20, 30 years ago? They will certainly say no. That's why the Bible says, has this been in the days before? You see? This is a transition time, brother. There are many spirits coming to try to get the children of God out of the way. But the Bible says, thanks be to God that the elect will listen to that small still voice.
Amen.
When all things around will turn against you, when every other spirit comes to mix the believers up, look unto the promised word of God. For us in Karamoja, we don't entertain this thing of thunders. Certainly no. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. You say thunder, thunder, what is it all about? We don't believe you coming to talk of thunder, thunder, thunder. What is it all about? When Jesus was on the cross and he spoke, the people who were unbelievers said he thundered. So if you are talking of thunder, thunder, we want a voice. Amen.
Amen.
It should not be a thunder. It should be a voice. Every child of God gets the word clearly. Any child of God hears the word clearly. If you talk of the thunder, tell us what has the voice said. Not the thunder. We don't want to hear thunder. But we want to hear that God has said this.
Amen.
And we are the people whom we should be equipped with the word of God so that we can do exploits. We are the ones to shake this earth once more, then we shall go in the rapture. It is the time that you should look at the blessed promises of the Lord Jesus Christ for your day. You see? Things in the denomination is that they talk of yesterday, they talk of tomorrow, but they forget of today. It is the time that we should be in the chamber room with the groom, with the word, and discussing and feeding on the manna. So that we can be nourished. So that we should not be malnourished. We should be fed spiritually. And then we come out fresh, strong, and moving in the power of God. It is the time that we should obey that. It is the time that we should eat manna. It is the time that we should get that balanced diet. Manna was out lacking no any food. There was no food nutrients missing in the manna. It was a complete food. And they enjoyed it. But let us not be a people who look back at the things that have passed. Let us look at what God says and what He is telling us today. Let us get back to this word of God, brethren. It is the same word that we in Africa we believe on. It is the same word that is uniting you and me. It is the same word that is keeping us to go on. Let us go back to this word. And getting back to this word, we should get back to the spirit that gives life to this word. We should not only have the dry word of it, no? We should have the life-giving part of the word. So that it can quicken us and renew us in the spirit. You know, when you get the quickening power, then you can have the ability, count yourself, if you have the quickening power, that you will go in the rapture when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But if you don't have the quickening power, it is time still to go back on your knees and seek the Lord for it. You need to get that rebirth. You need to be under that blood, filled with the Spirit, and waiting for the coming of the Lord earnestly. See? When you are in the Spirit of the Lord, your earnest desire every morning will be, Lord, when are you coming? Because now you will see everything around you useless. You will just be saying, Lord, when are you coming? Father, when are you coming? It will be the earnest desire of the children of God. It will be the earnest love that the children of God will have for the word of God. Let us continue earnestly seeking unto those things which the Lord God has spoken.
is not a mistake that you have believed this message. It is a special message, brethren. Don't look at the way other people are, and other denominations are, and you count yourself unworthy. People find it hard to abide in the message because it is the yardstick here. People don't want to live according to the yardstick, which is the Bible. And that's why they say it is hard to believe the message. But I thank my God that those whom they consider foolish, those whom they consider useless, those whom they consider nothing, are the ones who are taking this message. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, I thank thee that you have kept this thing away from the wise and prudent.
Right.
And you have revealed them unto babes. The people of the nature of Peter, who never went to any school, whom they have never seen any kind of educational status, people who don't count themselves anything in the society, people who have surrendered all that they have for the sake of the gospel. That's the one the Lord Jesus Christ was happy about. Thank you, God, that you are amongst the chosen few who have decided to leave the things of this world, who have decided to part with the world, who have decided to say no to Egypt, and then say, Lord, reign over my soul. Lord, reign over my life. Lord, transform me, Father. Lord, build me in your word. Lord, remember me when thou shalt come. Those are the people who have given their lives for the Lord. See? In this transition time also, brother, it is a time that we should know that the capstone is about to be one with the body.
Mm-hmm.
It is a time of getting back to the apostolic faith in fullness. It is a time when Jesus will be alive in us and the world will be seeing none other than Jesus Christ in our lives. And once this happens, you should know that we shall never be anymore here. Once we achieve that perfection state, we shall never tarry here any longer. The earth will feel we are a headache to reach some. And you say, ah. And there, the rapture will take us. However, you should know that every kind of thing is crying and waiting for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. You don't know how nature is crying. For you here, I see they preserve the environment. But our place, there is a serious cutting of trees for charcoal, you know. It is a kind of a living. Trees are crying, God, when are you revealing your children so that I can see, I can rest from this headache. Even you alone here. Nature is crying because every time they are digging the soil will say, my order has been disorganized, God. When are you revealing your children? You see, when I was telling brother yesterday in that underground train, it is not in our country. But you can imagine under the ground, the soil is disorganized. It is also complaining. God, when are you revealing your children so that we rest from this? Everything is crying everywhere. The scorching heat of the sun. Everything is crying, Lord, when are you revealing your children? When are you manifesting them? So that we rest from this kind of burden. We rest from this kind of torment. You see? Nature is suffering because of the sins of man. Things are crying because of the sins of man. A lot of things are happening. Wars, causing pollution, every kind of disorder. The clouds, the water, the sea, everything is complaining because of the sins of man. The earth has become heavy because of the sins of man. And everything is crying, Lord, when are you manifesting your children? Lord, when are they going to be manifested? That is the honest expectation of every creation.
Right.
And if nature is crying, if everything is crying for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God,
then how much more should the bride, should the children of God, the chosen few who are called into the message of the hour, those who have left the world, those who have left every kind of thing for the purpose of the gospel, this entire message, how much more should you therefore cry and weep for your manifestation?
Right.
How much more should you seek the Lord God so that His perfect will for this generation can be accomplished?
Amen.
How much more, brethren? It is not any time to wait longer. It is not any time anymore. There is no more time to dilly-dally, to waste around. It is a time of seriousness. It is a time that we should live a life, we should live a life which is exemplary and more so Christ-like.
Amen.
See? That is what the Bible demands of us. That's what the Word of God says, brother. See? So, as we are waiting for this coming of the Lord, I was directed to the book of Deuteronomy. Let us observe carefully what happened in that time. Moses was telling the children of God what they should do. What they did, what they are doing now, and what they should do when they get to the promised land. Even so, this day is through the fivefold ministry. God is working with every servant of His. And He's also working in every child of God to ensure that every believer gets his own transformation. For us, our salvation is individual, while for Israel, it's as a nation. See, Israel, they have begun now, you know, yearning for their Messiah. If Israel is awakening, then how much more serious should we be, brethren?
Right.
If Israel is saying the Messiah is coming, then how much more? With this kind of technology these days,
mm-hmm.
It can't take even a month to build a temple. It can't.
Right.
It can't. You will find that in a very short time the temple is built, everything is in order, and no more. Grace will be over for the Gentiles, and God will go back to Israel. It is our time now to go back to the promises of God. If Israel has celebrated their jubilee, then, and their yearning for the gospel, how much more should we also get closer, and much more? How much more should we be one with the Word of God?
Right.
It is time that we should be married now to the Word of God. It is the time now that the Spirit of God should come and be in your life, guiding your steps, guiding your thoughts, guiding your speech, and guiding your actions. This is the time, brethren. It is the time that this Messiah should be seen again in your life. It is the time that we should see Jesus moving in his body once again. As children of God, take heed, not to listen to any other voice. That's what Moses told them. Take heed, listen to no any other voice. Take heed and don't go to any other kind of worship. Neither should you listen even to your own brother or mother or relative who will say, leave the word and go and look after this. That's what Moses told the children of Israel. So, he said, but the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to cause his name to dwell, therein shall you bring your offerings.
Right.
So, he has shown us the time, the place where we should offer. And this place is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, if it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you is life. It's the truth and life. First of all, it is the truth because it is unchallengeable.
Right.
And it is life because it creates. So, what you and me are left with that the world shall see of us is what the prophet just tested. And he said, it will be for the bride. Amen? It is time when we get one with the Word, with the word of God, that God will come down, and there we shall begin speaking. Not anymore crying. We shall be speaking, and it shall be. Because the prophet said it will be with the bride. The third pool, speaking things into existence. That's the time when we shall shake this earth once again and go on. It is the time that the bride will exercise the power of its husband. It is the time that the bride will show the world again that surely I have a groom. And that's the word reigning in us. We should be driven by the word of God. Not driven by any other thing, but driven by the power that is in the word of God. So, let us look again at this scripture. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy, 13:4. Here it says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." So, brethren, as we are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive the Spirit of the Lord, it will not be you anymore who is doing the work of God. Yourself will cease. And Jesus will reign in you. There you will cleave and be one with the Lord. There you will be one with the Word. And it will be the Word reigning in your life. The Word made alive by the Spirit of the Lord will be the one reigning in your life. And it will be this Word that will be telling you what to do, at what time, and for what purpose. It is the word that will be telling you how you should walk in this salvation life. So, he said that ye shall walk after the Lord your God. One thing that God demands of us is to walk after him. The dove leaves, the eagle falls. We as the eaglets, we should hear the voice of the mighty eagle. We should have the eyes of that mighty eagle. We should see deeper than what other birds can see. We should fly higher than other birds. The reason why we should fly higher than other birds is because we have only and only one thing, that is the eye calling. And when you have this eye calling, it is the voice of the Most High that is heard by those who are on the high. Amen.
Right.
You see, my wife told me a testimony of how God brought her to this message. It was that one time she was perturbed. People were calling Branhamites, that they call Branhamites. And the denominations call us as cult. But we are not Branhamites. Amen?
Amen?
We are message believers. Not any other message, but the Bible,
right,
believers. So my wife told me, she prayed and was asking God, what is all about this? Then God just showed her the whole world. And the whole world, everybody was down to earth. And there were very, very, very few people who are flying in space. And the voice told her, these are those believers. Amen?
Amen?
These are those people. And from that time, it was our conversion to the message of the hour. Which means, once you come to the message of the hour, you are not any other ordinary person, brother, sister. You are not that person down to the earth. You are no longer dust. Amen? You will never be dust, and you will never go back to dust. You will be at a certain level, which is far above the worldly level. Because your calling is not from the earth, your calling is from above. And you will never fly together with the world, you will fly above the world. And you will never stand at the same level with the world, you will stand a level above the world. You will hear a voice that the world does not hear. You will experience something which the world does not experience. You will have some ability in you which the world does not have. And it is therefore the reason why Paul said, the life that I live is no longer me living, but Christ Jesus in me.
Amen.
You see? That is the life of a person who abides in this word. The one who cleaves to the message of the hour. The one who listens to the message of the servants of God. See? Here, brethren, so I want to tell you, listen to the servants of God. Listen. What they tell you, according to the leadership of the Spirit, obey. Don't think there's any brother from Africa or elsewhere who can come and tell you, brother, abide by this. Supposing God didn't give me the grace to come, I couldn't tell you. But listen to the servant of God, whom God has put to oversee you in this place. On the day of judgment, you will rally behind him. Because of the message that he preached to you, you will rally behind him and say, God, we lived according to the way he taught us. And you'll find your pastor in front, a line behind him. He will not have a line here only. He'll have a line in Africa too. By virtue of you sending him overseas to minister this sacred gospel, many souls are being won to the Lord. Many souls are getting converted to the Lord by virtue of his ministry. And every penny that you people spend to send a servant of God outside, you have preached the gospel to those souls. And you will get your reward, your crown, on that day. You will not believe, as Brother Branham did not believe, when brethren say, our precious brother, by virtue of the message that he preached. He says, but I don't know you. He said, no, it is your message. Some of us, we shall say, no, Brother Gunn, God bless you, our precious brother. Then you say, but brother, I didn't see you. We met with him for the first time here. But the message that God used him to preach, the ones in written form, some of us who went to school, we are able to listen to, to read, and we get an edification through such messages. So it is time that you listen to the servants of God, whom God has put in your midst. They are the eyes of God in your midst. God speaks to them, tell them this, you have to listen. You have to remove away the nature of Korah. You should remove away the nature of those of Miriam from our midst. Any kind of thing of the wilderness, remove it from your midst and let God alone prevail in your midst. Because if you listen to those things of Korah and the like and say, is God not with us? Is God not with us? It will bring controversy. And you should know the author of confusion is Satan. And once Satan sets the confusion, he knows when it sets this confusion, it will take time for this person to be revived. And once you lose the joy of salvation, it is difficult to serve God. See, when a brother or sister backslides, God takes away the joy of salvation. And once the joy of salvation is gone, peace is gone. And once peace is not there, you will never have any joy at all. Joy comes when you have peace. That's why David prayed and said, Lord, do not take away the joy of my salvation. It should also be your prayer. Wherever you are,
in what circumstance, in what situation, God, do not take away the joy of your salvation. God, give me the joy of your salvation. So that as people call you crazy, you have life. As they call you nuts, mention it as the prophet said, nuts, the nuts makes vehicles move. Huh? All these wonderful trains that you people have, without nuts, it can't go. So, it is better to be called a nut. Because you keep things together. Huh? Yeah, it justifies the reason for our calling. Yeah? We are nuts, yes, but that nut is still holding this world. We are nothing, yes, but the nothing that we are is still causing this world to experience some peace.
Amen. Right. That's true.
Yeah? So, if you are nothing, yes, you are nothing for Christ's sake.
Amen.
Not because of the things of this world, yes.
Right.
Hmm? Accept it for Christ's sake.
Amen.
And let, therefore, if you are called nothing, therefore accept to be nothing by surrendering your life to the Word of God. You should have, let me just say, you should have the earnest desire, the greatest desire, that the Word of God should dwell in you abundantly. And the Spirit of the Lord also to fill you to its fullness so that the life you live should be according to the Word of God. That you live according to every dot. Where there is a comma, you apply. Where there is a full stop, you put. And then people will see everything you do is seasoned. Is seasoned by the Word of God.
Right.
And everything will be moving perfectly, brethren. So, let us have that love for the Word of God. Let us have that desire for God in our lives. Let us still have that desire for fellowship. Hmm? For us in Africa, God gave us the grace that we go fellowshipping. We have conventions still. And in Karamoja, we have many churches. The minimum, if people gather in a convention, is about at least over 1,000 brethren. And I think in the whole of Uganda, Karamoja, I think, God, by God's grace, is having the highest numbers of believers. I think so.
Amen.
And God is still calling. Those who are killers, God is bringing to his fold. Those who are robbers, God is bringing to his fold.
Right.
You see, the working of God in Karamoja is so special, brethren.
Amen.
I always plead with Brother Gun on the net, say, brother, God willing, you better come over there. Because there are some villages where it is already given the name, death. You'll find people are dying, they are rotten everywhere, it's maggots. But the servants of God, those warriors who were in the world there before, who are now warriors for the gospel, they go preaching and they take these people on a wheelbarrow, roll them after they have believed the word of God, roll them to the water. After baptism, somebody is jumping and walking back. It's the same Jesus Christ who is here in Singapore. It's the same Jesus Christ we preach there. We see his living power. Many people were rolled on wheelbarrows for water baptism, came back walking. Many people were on the dying bed, saw Jesus Christ alive again. Many people who had gone insane, you know, in psychiatry they say mental illness and there is no hope. But Jesus has proven that he can still even heal those mentally ill people.
Yes.
A person like Brother Jerubal, a precious preacher of the gospel, who was mentally sick. That the people who had gone after the Darwin's theory, believing there is no God, mentally disorganized, but now is a precious servant of God,
amen,
preaching the gospel and caretaking the church of God.
Amen.
See? These demons fear the word of God.
Amen.
One time we were for a convention in Kotido, and then they brought an insane person, tied hands and everything. Then after prayer, the Spirit was telling this one, you people, why have you brought me where they are using a lot of big bombs on us? Yes, which means our prayer has a transforming power.
It is not an ordinary prayer. It is a prayer of faith that brings the desired effect in the life of a person. It is a prayer of faith that can move mountains. It is the belief in the Word of God that this Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever that is keeping this gospel going forward. It is because you have accepted the Holy Spirit to abide in you that makes you to have that living ability, that life-giving power is making us to push on and wait for the coming of the Lord. Not by our might, not by our strength, not by our wisdom, not by our ability, but by the Spirit of God are we going. So Jesus is alive again. And He is alive in us. He should reign in us. He should show His power real in us again. But do you know that it is us who are limiting God? Amen? It is us who are limiting God. We limit God by our unbelief. We limit God by our reasoning. Is it possible? Is it feasible? Is it true? That is the way we limit God. If faith says, if God says this, we say, is it true? That is limiting God. Why not take God as at His word? If He says He's a healer, He's a healer. Believe that and go on. For me, when God says, receive your healing, it took me about 3 years to see the total deliverance. He didn't say when.
Right.
He says, receive. And I believed and kept on. I walked on. During my A-level, I could not sit the exam, brethren. But the tears were rolling. I just cut a piece of cloth. One was for flu. The other one for wiping the tears. So I went to the exam room. One of the precious brethren is now with the Lord, I believe. Came and he looked at me. I said, you go and get for me plain papers, the unruled ones. I'm going to sit the exam tomorrow. It looks crazy. Somebody, tears, tearing every now and again. No stop. Flew all over. And just went into the room. The teachers looked at me. The deputy headmistress said, please, would you mind writing to the academic board so that you'll do your exam, your mocks later? I turned to her and said, please, Jesus paid for my exam fee about 2,000 years ago. I'm not willing. I'm ready to go into the exam room.
Amen.
It looks crazy. The woman looked at me. I went. The following morning, this brother brings for me plain papers. I entered the exam room. The tears were rolling. Then I told the teachers, said, please, since I'm unable to read clearly, read for me a question. Or read first all the questions. And after reading all the questions, the one I will tell you, you read for me again. Because there were options. So they read for me the questions. I said, this question which says this, he said, okay, fine. I already opened my eye with the handkerchief. Next, I put the hand. And I begin scribbling. I close the eye and begin writing. When I'm nearing the edge of the script, of the sheet, I again wipe the tears, see where I can put the next nib of the pen. I wrote. At the end of it, brethren, some people got 0 points. But for me, God gave me the grace. I came with 9 points. It looked craziness. People could not believe, but it was God. If I had not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have failed that exam. And I would have not sat. But the best person got 10. He is awesome. Very, very okay. But for me, 9. The whole school, when the results came back, everybody turned and said, Isaac, what is funny with you? I just looked at my God, not me. Because my wisdom, not me. And in all my life, from primary up to the level I finished my graduate course, brethren, there is no exam that God has not revealed to me. I go in the exam room knowing what is there to answer. He has been faithful to me. And He has never made me to fail. He has given me the grace to succeed. So, if He can reveal to me these things, and also the greatest revelation He gave to me
is this word the message of the hour? How much more should I therefore cleave unto his word? So that one time I can also be in heaven to tell the testimony of his healing power, the testimony of how he saved me, the testimony of how he did what in my life. Can that also be your earnest desire, brethren? That we live according to the word of God.
Yes.
We seek this God more. That we love this Jesus Christ the more. That we should walk after the way which the Lord will tell us to walk. So that one moment, brethren, we may meet in that land and testify of the story of the wonderful things that he has done for our lives. Let us make it our desire, brethren. Let us make it our earnest desire that God may have reign over us.
Hallelujah.
That the word of God once more should prevail over us. That the word of God once more should be alive in us again. That the word of God once more should shape this world again. That people will see and say, surely Jesus reigns. Let us stand up.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, in this short time, there was a song which God gave me some time back, and I request we just sing it. It goes that, all my trials are no more. All my trials are no more. All my trials are no more. Because Jesus, the Son of God, took them away. Amen?
Amen.
We just repeat it 3 times. And then the person leading can say, all my trials, all my sorrows, all my problems, all my worries. Okay? Just let us sing it slowly, then we shall begin singing it. For us in Karamoja, we love singing and jumping.
Right.
So we just give God thanks. Yeah. All my trials are no more. All my trials are no more. All my trials are no Jesus, the Son of God, took them away. I think we are okay now. You have got it. Okay, let us sing it a bit faster. You know, God gave me a voice to give a joyful noise. I'm not a good singer, but I give a joyful noise unto the Lord. All my trials are no more. All my trials are no more. All my trials are no more, because Jesus, the Son of God, took them away. All my sins are no more, all my sins are no more, all my sins are no more. Because Jesus, the Son of God, took them away. All my worries are no more. All my worries are no more. Hallelujah. All my worries are no more. Because Jesus, the Son of God, took them away. All my fears are no more. All my fears are no more. Oh, my brothers, all my fears are no more. Because Jesus, the Son of God, took them away. All my sickness are no more. All my sickness are no more. Hallelujah, all my sickness are no more. Because Jesus, the Son of God, took them away. Blessed eternal God.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, all our trials, all our sickness, all our sorrows, all our problems are normal, Father. Because we bring them all under the cross of Father. And that, Lord, at the cross, there is our glory, there is our joy, there is our life, O my Master. We thank you for the word which we have heard, O Father. We pray that, Lord, you give the life-giving part of it, O my Master. That it reforms and renew us, O Father, for the glory of thy name. We thank you, blessed King. Bless this church. Bless your servants here. And use them all, Lord, for the glory of thy name. We thank you, Lord. Glory be back to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.